KNOM Update News, I'm Janice Holm Kinkow. It's 12:02. The way Social Security benefits are delivered is going to change very soon. The U.S. Department of the Treasury is now requiring all Social Security recipients to obtain payments through an electronic payment option. Individuals who still receive paper checks are required by law to switch to either direct deposit or a bank card option within the next 35 days. This may prove difficult given that most communities in rural Alaska do not have direct access to a bank. Pearl Mikulski is the Vice President of Community Services at Quirk Incorporated. She has been working with Alaska Legal Services as an advocate for communities dealing with this change. Mikulski does say the big issue with removal of paper checks is the lack of banks where residents can access their benefits.
None of our villages have a bank, and only four of them have an ATM. Most of them don't have a whole lot of difficulty cashing checks, except for the fact that the community does not always have enough cash on hand for to cash every check in town. So sometimes there's weeks or days without any cash in town to cash any checks.
Slow internet is another issue for elders trying to check their accounts online. Mikulski says about 20 to 30% of households have internet access, and other communities do not have access even to a public computer. Signals to check accounts on a cell phone are also limited, and the ability to pay local utility bills with a bank card will also be a challenge, as most only accept cash or money orders. Mikulski has been in contact with several communities to see how the change can impact their elders.
They said the younger elders who are used to the system with other types of benefits will probably benefit greatly, but some that are still using paper checks, they're worried about bank fees, for one, possible fraud. If someone got a hold of their card and were to mismanage it.
The law does have exceptions for those without access to a bank or financial institution, but signed and notarized waivers are required in order to still receive paper checks. Mikulski says Quirk has worked to ensure notaries are available. Currently, Diomede is the only community without a notary, and Mikulski expects Quirk will need to send one out to assist with waivers. Quirk will also be writing to Senators Mark Begich and Lisa Murkowski asking to waive the necessity for notarization. Mikulski hopes that the federal government will be understanding of these challenges in rural Alaska.
The important thing to keep in mind is that we don't want to have any elder that is held up for months trying to navigate this process and has a backlog of, 3 months waiting for their benefits to catch up with them. So we're just hoping that the transition will be smooth and that people will not suffer, especially when fuel bills have to be paid and houses have to be heated and food has to be bought.
The U.S. Treasury is making the change in order to save taxpayers more than $120 million, especially as many baby boomers prepare for retirement. March 1st is the deadline for waivers to be submitted. Senator Mark Begich is co-sponsoring legislation aimed at improving mental health care. The proposal is an expansion on a measure Begich proposed last year to improve mental health services on college campuses. It has drawn bipartisan support, which Begich says should help the measure gain traction in the new Congress. The bill would provide training for educators and others to learn the warning signs and risk factors for mental health issues. It also lays out steps for referrals to mental health services available in communities. Begich has called for a focus on improving mental health care rather than focus on new gun control measures after last month's deadly shooting in Connecticut. A new trial date has been set for Teddy Kyle Smith of Kiana. The 45-year-old has been charged with attempted murder, assault, theft, and weapons possession, and misconduct. Smith was charged after shooting at a crowd outside his mother's home in Kiana in September 2012. He is also charged with shooting and injuring two brothers on September 18th of last year. Smith is currently being held at the Anvil Mountain Correctional Center in Nome. His hearing is scheduled for February 6th at the Kotzebue Courthouse. While the Coast Guard has not found the cause of why animals and ocean debris was covered with oil on St. Lawrence Island, the Coast Guard is still investigating. Coast Guard Petty Officer Frank Sciano says samples were taken from the animals and sent to a marine safety lab. While the oil was found to indeed be from a petroleum product, no source was identified.
Anything that was in the area that could have been that could have possibly been the source was sampled, and it came back as it was not a match to the oil that was on the animals. So at this point, we have no other sources to identify, and we're going to continue to look or investigate once springtime comes for more affected areas, more affected wildlife, and see if we could possibly find a source.
Officer Sciano says they've also worked with the Russian Coast Guard to identify any possible sources.
And as well as check those, and those came up as well as not being any possible source for this contamination.
Sciano says at this point, they really have no idea where the oil came from.
It could be from land, it could be from a vessel, it could be from anything. Unfortunately, we've branched out to all other agencies and all other Coast Guard, and we're going to continue to look, but at this point, we still don't know where this could have come.
Officer Sciano says the Coast Guard is going to continue to work with Savunga Gamble and Shishmaref. They do monthly calls to the communities where the reports were originally taken.
To see if there were any other wildlife observed with oil or any other debris that has showed up with oil.
So far, wildlife contaminated with this oily substance includes 3 murres, 1 crested auklet, a common eider, 1 kittiwake, 2 spotted seals, and 1 ringed seal. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation also continues their investigation. Representative Bryce Edgman will serve as chair of the Alaska House's Bush Caucus. Edgman, a Democrat from Dillingham, takes over from former Representative Reggie Joel, who did not seek re-election. The bipartisan 12-member caucus is comprised of rural lawmakers or lawmakers whose districts include rural constituencies. Edgman said the group is still working on priorities, but said there's common ground around core service issues like education, energy, and public safety. The other caucus members are Representatives Benjamin Nagyak, Beth Kurtula, Bob Heron, Neil Foster, Paul Seaton, and others. KNOM Update News, it's 10 minutes after 12 o'clock.